Hi there, working homeschool moms. This is Charlotte from Charlotte Jones 24/7 and My Little Homeschool. And this is episode number 96 of the Strike a Balance podcast for working homeschool moms. Today's topic is super, super cool. And I have a fantastic guest. I speak to Vida Mercer from Mercer Homeschooling, and we chat all about ChatGPT and how it can save you time as a working homeschool mom. Vida has done some in-depth experimentation and research and has some really useful tips for how you can make the most of this new technology and also some things that you need to keep in mind or things that you have to avoid. It is an amazing episode. If you're looking to save some time, then I highly recommend listening to it. But before we get to the episode, I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. Or if you know another working homeschool mom who needs support, who is thinking about starting being a working homeschool mom, who wants to save some time, then be sure to forward this episode to her as well. And in this way, we can grow this beautiful working homeschool mom community together. Thank you so much and enjoy the episode. Hi there, and welcome to the Strike a Balance podcast for working homeschool moms. This is Charlotte Jones. I'm your host, and I am a podcaster, a speaker, a writer, and a homeschooling coach, specifically for working homeschool moms. I've been homeschooling my neurodivergent twin boys since 2017, and I've been a working homeschool mom since 2017. So I know it can feel really overwhelming to keep all the balls in the air all the time. So each week, I chat about tips and strategies for being a happy and thriving working homeschool mom. I cover things like time management, homeschooling, mindset, and lots of other juicy topics like that. I also speak to awesome and inspiring women who manage to juggle homeschooling and work successfully and find out what their secrets are. And I also welcome experts who can help you on your working homeschool mom journey. I have lots of ways to support you, so be sure to check them out in the show notes. You can download my time audit as your first step to managing your time better. I have a Facebook group for working homeschool moms that you can join as well. And be sure to sign up to my newsletter for weekly updates. And if you need additional support, you can join the WHM Collective, which is a supportive community of working homeschool moms where we delve deeper into topics that are going to help you thrive as a working homeschool mom. Or if you need one-to-one support, be sure to book in a session with me. I'm so excited for you to be here, and I know you'll get so much value out of this episode. So let's get started. Working homeschool mom, I know how overwhelming it can be to choose a math curriculum for your homeschool. That's why I'd like to tell you about the online math curriculum we've been using for years, ctcmath.com. As far as math curriculums go, it has loads of great features that solve lots of the math issues we've had, and I know a lot of homeschooling families have. Here are just a few of the many features that we really like. Questions are adaptive, which means the interactive questions change in difficulty depending on the student's ability. The program uses a smart algorithm that tracks the student's progress and delivers questions based on their exact needs. The student doesn't even know this is happening, helping them to build confidence and master math concepts. Concepts are delivered through video tutorials and summaries, which are clear, complete, and easy to follow. It's like having your very own teacher. This ensures your children understand something before they're asked to practice it. And then for us parents, CTC Math has extensive reports, which are so valuable in monitoring your child's progress and spotting any gaps. And they offer a 12-month money-back guarantee if this curriculum is not for you and your family. CTC will provide a full refund, no questions asked. But I think the most important thing is a whole lot less stress when it's math time for both parents and kids. You get to outsource math with confidence, and your kids get a fantastic tailor-made program that makes learning and mastering math enjoyable and positive. Visit CTC Math today to start your free trial. CTC Math is also offering you, listener, an amazing special. When you go to ctcmath.com/MLH, you can get a half price discount plus a bonus 6 months for free. That's ctcmath.com/MLH. I'm so thrilled to welcome Vida Mercer back onto the podcast. I first interviewed her back in February 2022, and I think it was episode number 10, when the podcast was still a little baby. We've come such a long way since then. Vida is a second generation homeschooler who balances the roles of author, editor, curriculum developer, instructor, and consultant, all within the homeschooling niche. As a thought leader in non-traditional education, she's a passionate advocate for the rights and abilities of parents to educate their own children. Welcome back to the podcast, Vida. It's great to chat to you again today.
It's so great to be here again, Charlotte. I love talking to you, and I'm so excited to talk about today's topic. I think it's going to be super interesting.
Absolutely. So we're going to be talking about something that's really topical, that's really kind of captured the imagination of so many people, and that is ChatGPT, and specifically how you can use ChatGPT to help you to homeschool. So I know you've dived really, really deeply into this topic. So I'm so excited to hear what you've discovered. Just to start out, maybe you can tell me if there were any hesitations about actually using ChatGPT and why you kind of did it anyway.
Sure. Yeah. I think there's, you know, when ChatGPT first dropped and became a thing, there was a lot of angst and anxiety about it. Everybody feels like it's going to replace their jobs. What is this going to turn into? Everything from, you know, to is it going to take over the world? But on a more practical level, I think there was a lot of fear about getting incorrect information. Like, you know, you hear these horror stories about, you know, hallucinations, which I'll get into a little bit more of, where this, you know, program is just sort of feeding you information that's just not true. And so, like, how good is it? You know, how good is the information you're getting? Because I work, you know, obviously in the writing field, there've been a lot of hesitation among writers using it, a lot of talk about, you know, their jobs being replaced, what's going to happen with it there. And then also because I teach writing, there's a very parallel conversation in the instructional field of, like, what is this going to do to the field of education? How can we, you know, deal with the reality of this? So lots of different little points of anxiety and hesitations about using this, and a tendency in amongst writers and educators and just people in general, I think, to kind of pretend like it's not there. But I started to see pretty quickly, like, this isn't going away. This is going to be a tool that's going to be here that we're going to have to grapple with. And so I started thinking about, how can we actually make friends with it? How can we use it? What is it really good for? And I, of course, because that's what I do, started thinking about homeschooling and decided that I was just going to experiment with it, that, you know, I was going to kind of be the guinea pig and see, you know, can this be of any use to homeschooling moms? What is its role there?
Yes. Such good points there. I think if you can't beat them, join them, right?
Yes.
And I also think that homeschooling kind of gives us the opportunity or the possibility to maybe try these things out in a way that can suit us. Because I remember when I started homeschooling, well, when we left public school, that the principal of the school said, use whatever you can to teach the kids. And that's kind of really stuck in my mind, because at school, obviously, everything was so very specific. But in homeschooling, you have this possibility to try anything and everything that's going to engage your child, I think, at the end of the day.
Excellent point. Yes. It's a possibility. And so you might as well open your mind to it and see what's there, right?
The WHM Collective is a monthly membership on Patreon that was created with you in mind, working homeschool mom. If you're just starting out on your journey, or if you're finding it difficult to find your groove, then the WHM Collective is definitely the membership for you. Each month, we delve into topics that are going to help you thrive as a working homeschool mom, such as homeschooling, schedules, time management, and lots of other juicy topics. I know how busy life is for you, working homeschool mom, and I know how complicated life is too. So that's why this membership is super simple. Each month, there's one live workshop, one ebook, and one session of office hours where you can have your questions answered in real time. In addition, you'll get one free coaching session per membership and an added bonus of having access to all past content, which you can work through in your own time. So if you're feeling like you need some additional support as a working homeschool mom, then I really hope that you will consider joining the WHM Collective, because I know that it will help you so much to find clarity and to move forward in your working homeschool mom life. So when you kind of tested it out, what were some of the tasks that you found it was most helpful with when it came to homeschooling?
Yes. So I had to learn to kind of think out of the box, because I think that the tendency is, well, when people I knew, myself, my husband, you know, people I talked to started playing around with it, it was more like for parlor tricks, right? You ask it to do silly little things and see what it can come up with, right? But when you're actually trying to think of practical things that it can do for you, it seemed to be a lot harder. And I had a tendency to think of it kind of like a search engine. You know, you ask it a question, almost like Google, right? When I really felt like I made a breakthrough in figuring out what this could do was when I decided it struck me that I should use it to ask it to create a course schedule for this curriculum that I had that didn't have a schedule. So I have this writing course that I'm going to be using this year with one of my daughters, and it's self-paced. And so it doesn't actually come with a set schedule, but I wanted some kind of structure. I wanted it to fit into, you know, so many weeks of school. How is that going to break down? Which I wanted to know which units are we going to cover quickly? Which units do I need to leave more time for? And so that I didn't run out of time to cover this whole course. And so I decided to try this out. And what I did was I copy and pasted the table of contents so that ChatGPT could see all of the layout of the course and everything that was included. But I also then copied and pasted the introduction of the course, because it talked in there about which modules were going to need more time. And it kind of talked about the timing a little bit in there. And so I wanted to give that information. I told it to create a course schedule and how many weeks I wanted it to be. And sure enough, it spits it out. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this would have taken me like, I don't even know how long to sit down and do. And that's when the light bulb really started going off of like, if you think outside the box a little bit, it's what I learned. My first big lesson here is that it's not a search engine, right? Don't treat it like a search engine. Instead of thinking like, what can I ask this, you know, what little fact or piece of information, of course you can do that too, but that's not as great for that. Instead, think of it like an assistant. What can I ask this to do for me? What more task-based things? And if you had an assistant, you know, to literally, this is what I did then. I sit down, like if I had a homeschooling assistant, what types of things would I delegate? What types of things would I ask it to do for me to save me time? And I think that was my first big tip of that you have to kind of learn in dealing with it to think that way and to give it those kinds of tasks rather than treating it like a search engine.
I liked it when you also said, tell me, ChatGPT, what is the best way that you can help me to homeschool?
Yes.
I thought that was such a question.
You know,
yeah.
It's so funny because you learn more and more, and it's a little bit creepy. You know, this is one of people's fears, is that it's like, it's this artificial intelligence, but you sort of have to learn to treat it like a person. Really, you do, in order to get the most out of it. And so I started thinking when I was stuck, like, oh, well, what do I ask it to do? I thought, well, why not ask it? So
exactly,
you can do that too. And then at the end, you know, I wrote this article about this. At the end, I kind of did the same thing with tips. I asked it not only like, what kind of tasks can you do for a homeschooling mom, but, you know, what are your tips for using this? It really is. And that's another tip, is that it's very conversational. And this was huge. You know, when we go into Google, we think of it as kind of a one and done thing. Like, we're really good at that now, right? We're all used to using search engines. We're all really good at crafting these queries to get what we want from a search engine. We type in a question, Google spits out the answer. Usually what we want is in the first, you know, few things that come up in Google. And we rarely have to follow up. We rarely have to go back and edit our question and keep digging, right? This is a little bit different because it is more like having a conversation. I mean, again, like you're talking to your assistant. And so what you get back, for instance, in this very first experiment that I tried of generating this course schedule, I was stunned with the results. This is like my first real use of the thing. It spits out this beautiful course schedule. But then I noticed that it actually scheduled several weeks towards the end to go through the appendices of the course. And it's because I didn't tell it not to. You know, I put all that information in there, But you have to be so specific. And I just can't reiterate that enough. And it's something, it's like a skill you learn over time. Just like we learned how to craft a search engine query, you learn over time how to talk to this new friend, your new assistant, and how much detail you actually have to give. And you have to be super specific. So then you simply go back and adjust that. And you don't have to even, this is how amazing it is, you don't even have to like retype the whole question because it remembers what you talked about. You just go back and say, recalculate it without the appendices, and it does it. So it's quite something, but it is, I guess there's a couple of tips in there. One is be really, really specific. Like any information, the more information, the better, as far as what you're asking for and what you're looking to get back. But the other big tip is to think of it as a conversation. Just go into it knowing that the first thing you get back is not going to be exactly everything that you want. You're going to have to follow up, and you're going to have to refine it, and you're going to have to have this kind of back and forth with your assistant about what you're looking for, and look at how you can get a better result out of it.
Well, I guess it is kind of like training an assistant, that when you get, when somebody starts out in the company or whatever, I mean, they need to know what you want specifically. And I suppose that's also kind of, it's a skill that you learn, is how to tell people exactly what you want from them. So I guess, I mean, it's actually a really useful skill that you can transfer to other things as well, is to figure out exactly how to ask the correct question.
It is, actually. And I'm super bad at delegating, so it's something that I could use work on too. But but it is like that. You do literally have to train it. And this is one I'm considering actually getting the paid. So I'm using the free version of ChatGPT. That's what I've used to write this article and done all my experimentation with. But if you purchase the paid version of ChatGPT, which I believe right now is $20 a month or something like that, it has a lot of bells and whistles that if you use it a lot would be really cool. And one of them is beta testing features. And they're beta testing this feature right now, I believe, or they're getting ready to, where you can kind of feed it some standard information about yourself that you want it to always remember. So I guess at first I should back up and talk about chats and what chats are. So within ChatGPT, it's kind of like your text messages. You open up your text messages and you have in there different conversations with different people. And so each, you open up ChatGPT and each new topic that you start with it is a different chat. And so this is one of my tips, is that you need to organize your chats sort of by topic, because it will remember everything that you told it within a chat. So if you tell it, you know, this is kind of part of that being specific and really training your assistant. If you tell it at the beginning of a chat, you know, I'm a homeschooling mom, you know, I have this many kids of these ages, this is our homeschooling style, and you're sort of feeding it all of the basic information that it needs to know in order to give you really good results, it will remember that for the rest of that topic. So then as for instance, if you're asking it to help you create a unit study or something, it's doing that within the scope of the information that you fed it. But if you start a different chat on a different topic, and that's what I recommend doing. Like if you're gonna start a whole different topic, then I suggest moving to a different chat. You have to feed it all that basic information again. So circling back to the paid version, they're testing this feature where you can sort of set these overall settings where you can give it some information about yourself and about what you're looking for, and it remembers that for all time through all chats, so you don't have to repeat that information. So that's just an interesting little thing that I thought when I read that, I thought, oh, that would be super helpful, because you do need to sort of give it that boilerplate information. You want it to personalize, like you were saying, if you have an assistant, you need to teach it about the company and the business and what, you know, what you're about and what do you want. So personalizing, you need to almost sort of have like a copy and paste little paragraph that you can give it at the beginning of every chat that tells it this information. If you want resources that line up with your family's religious beliefs, or again, you have a particular homeschooling style, Charlotte Mason or classical that you are, you know, the ages of your kids, all of this information should be fed to it when you're trying to craft homeschool resources, so that it has that, because the more information it has, the better the results it will give you, the more personalized results it will give you.
That's a really, really good tip, because I've just kind of been playing around, just, you know, putting in literally like three words or four words. So, I mean, what I got back was quite useful, to be honest. But I mean, obviously that I'm just scratching the surface, I mean, of what it can do.
Right.
So I need to, that's a really, really good tip. Yeah.
Yes. Some of the uses that I found for it and that I run through in my article, I mean, and I'm just scratching the surface too. I would love to hear what other homeschoolers have found as far as to use this. So if your listeners come up with any great stuff, I would love to hear what they're using it for. But again, I used it for asking it to create a course schedule or even like a daily or weekly schedule for your family. Explaining complex material, that was another one that I thought its responses were really interesting, of like, take this topic and it, literally like the whole tell it to me like I'm five, or you know, explain this for a third grader, just, and you have to sort of copy and paste the information in, and it will do it. List generation was one of my favorites, of like, give me a list of this, you know, spelling words or important events during the Crusades, or, you know, any kind of list generation. But that is where I found, and I guess this is probably a good time to talk about the hallucinations. This is where, you know, I got into some actual murky territory and some factually incorrect things that came up. And so this is what people are afraid of. It's like, oh, if I use this, it's going to give me bad information, right? So a hallucination is sort of, I guess, the technical term that they use for when ChatGPT or another AI language model tries to foist incorrect information on you as if it's the truth. And for some reason, it seems, I think it's because of the conversational nature, and it's because you almost sort of begin to feel like you're talking to a person. And it's because of the very confident way in which ChatGPT delivers its results that it doesn't, when it happens, it sort of feels like it's lying to you, right? Not just that it's wrong, like, oh, this is incorrect, but that it's like trying to deceive you, which of course it's not, but it does have that creepy little feeling of like, what are you trying to pull over on me? Because it's so self-confident and it's so conversational. But in the list generation, that is where I started to see some incorrect factual things. And so this was like a big, I guess, word of warning to users. My rule of thumb for dealing with this, I decided I didn't want this to be a barrier to actually using it, but you still have to have some kind of guidelines to go on. And my main tips for this are, you know, it's like dealing with an assistant, or you have a new intern or something. If they bring you important factual information, you're going to check it, right? You check your assistant's work, you know? And so you should do that here too, especially if you're relying on it. If you're using a fact, for instance, in an email or for homeschooling purposes, you're going to take this fact to your kids and teach it to them, then you should double check it somewhere, you know? And that's why it's sometimes better if you are really looking for instance, about the Crusades. If you're not really familiar with it yourself, then it's maybe better to, instead of asking it for the facts, ask it for some good resources for finding facts. And it can point you to some credible resource information to find what you're looking for, rather than it actually telling you the facts itself. So that's another alternative that you can use. And so under those two circumstances, if you're not really familiar with a topic yourself, where you're kind of going to spot inaccuracies, or if you are relying on a fact in some way, you know, to go and tell somebody else, hey, this is a fact, then you should double check it somewhere. But again, no different than you would with an actual real assistant, of just kind of following up on their work. And I don't think it's a barrier to using this, that sometimes you get factual inaccuracies. But this is the thing that happened yesterday. So this isn't even in my article, because this just happened yesterday. And I thought, oh my goodness, I was asking it to come up with some multiple choice questions. It's really good at this, actually. I copied and pasted, you know, a lesson information in there. I wanted some assessments, and I asked it to come up with some multiple choice questions. And this was pertaining to cooking and doing conversions of measurements. So for instance, like from converting teaspoons to tablespoons and things like that. So this is pretty simple math, right? It gave me some really great examples, and again, the multiple choice, you know, answers with the incorrect answers, you know, the distractors and also the correct answer in there. And then it volunteered an explanation of why the answer that it said was correct is correct, but it was wrong. It got very simple math. Like it said 2 times 3, you know, that was the sort of formula it was using, 2 times 3. And it was telling me that the answer was 4. And I'm thinking, the incredible advanced things that this thing can do, and it's giving me incorrect information on a very, very basic math question. And so again, it dawned on me. So at first I was like, okay, well, this is just a cautionary tale of why you do need to fact check these things. Mm-hmm. But later it occurred to me, why don't I ask it why it said that? Mm-hmm. Again, thinking of talking to it, you know, and following up with it. And so I went back to it. I'm actually going to read you what it said. I went back to the same chat and I said, so here's the actual math. I said, if 1.5 times 4 is 6, then why is the correct answer 3 pounds? So I'm like questioning it on like, that doesn't make sense, right? And it says, apologies for the mistake in the previous explanation. You're right. There was an error in the calculation. Let's correct the explanation. And then it proceeds to give me the correct answer. So it's not a perfect tool. It's much better for things, I think, that are not necessarily fact-based.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting, actually, because you kind of think, like I said, you're thinking that it's a search engine that is going to spew out facts, but obviously it's not the case. Right.
Yes, not a search engine. Sometimes you can rely on the facts, but sometimes you can't. It is very much more, I think, task-oriented than it is fact-oriented. Uh-huh. And to reinforce that, I think the thing that I was most amazed at, the task that I asked it to do that just blew me out of the water the most was reviewing a child's work and giving feedback.
Oh, yes, I saw that. I thought that was a really, really good idea.
Yes. So one of my jobs, I work for Brave Writer, the language arts company, and I have been rigorously trained in how to give, you know, affirming and constructive and positive feedback on a child's writing. And so I had very high expectations. I decided what I wanted to do is just copy and paste a little writing sample from one of my children in there and ask it to give feedback, to review the writing and to give feedback on it. And I was absolutely blown away. I mean, it didn't completely follow Brave Writer protocols, but I would say that what it gave me as far as suggestions for giving feedback was so far and above what I think most typical writing curriculums give. I think it was really instructive for me, the parent. Like, for instance, if I didn't have this experience at Brave Writer, I didn't know the things that I know, I think it would be really eye-opening and liberating to see, you know, the positivity that it had and all of the ideas that it had for feedback and for collaborating with my child on improving the writing and on affirming the child's writing. And I was absolutely stunned.
Yes. And I remember you said it encouraged the parent as well, right? So it was very encouraging for you, for the parent and for the child. So it kind of covered both sides of the feedback or of the writing process, I guess, as well, or how to help your kid to write successfully. I thought that was really interesting.
I did too. You know, I tried to keep my focus in this article on not so much how to use ChatGPT with your child, but on what can it do for the parent? Like, how can it save a homeschooling parent time? And so, you know, providing ideas for feedback, I thought, oh, that could be one of them, but I didn't expect it to be so positive for the parent as far as, you know, just showing the parent the good stuff in the child's writing that they might overlook, you know?
Absolutely. And obviously, as working homeschool moms, I think this can be really, really useful then. Because, you know, we're always worrying about saving time where we can.
Yes, exactly. That was the big thing. I was like, how can this save homeschool mom's time?
Exactly.
One of the last things I did was using it to compare and contrast curriculum. Like, we're always agonizing over, like, which math curriculum should I buy? Which science curriculum should I buy? And just for instance, copying and pasting in information from two competitors' websites, or even just telling it the names of the curriculum that you're considering and asking it to compare them, and it will give you a list of bullet points on each one and compare different points. And I can't imagine how much time it would save just in that alone. So you want to think those time-saving task-based uses rather than sort of fact-based search engine type things.
That's a really, really, another really fantastic thing because, yeah, like you said, the agonizing of a curriculum. And also, I suppose in that case, you want to put in, you know, this is my methodology again, or this is, you know, these are my kids, these are their ages, these are their interests, or I guess their learning styles. I guess you could get a really, really good result from that.
Exactly. Yes. The more information you get, and that's another tip too, is like, if you forget something, just come back to that chat and add it in. You know, if you forget to put all that the first time you ask the question, then just follow up with that information and see how it changes the result. Don't just take the first thing that it gives you, but that's the beauty of these chats. And if trying to keep them organized is that you can always come back to it later and refine it, give it more information, and it will give you a better result.
Amazing. Yes. I mean, it's an amazing time we live in, though, isn't it?
That's
the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, it really is.
It really is. Amazing. Just that I'm sitting here talking to you halfway across the world. And
Exactly. Oh my goodness. It really is. Yeah. Maybe you could just tell everybody if there's anything you're working on. Obviously, I'll share this fantastic article that you wrote in the show notes. Is there anything else you'd like to share as well?
Oh, I just launched a new newsletter, the Essential Homeschooler Newsletter, which is just designed to be a very brief read, like a 5-minute read of like tips and resources that I share every single week. And I'm working on writing my second history book for homeschoolers. So that's in the works and will be out shortly. Well, maybe not shortly. I hope my publishers weren't listening to that. It'll be out as quickly as I can write it. That's all the exciting stuff I have going on right now.
Where's the best place for people to connect with you online?
MercerHomeschooling.com. And then, you know, I'm at Mercer Homeschooling on Facebook as well. And I think on Twitter, the best place I am on Twitter is Vida_writes. Yeah, at Twitter.
Such a fantastic chat today, Vida. Thank you for sharing all you've learned about ChatGPT so that other working homeschool moms can save time and also a lot of stress. And thank you for taking the time to chat to me again today.
Thank you so much for having me back, Charlotte. It's always a pleasure.
I really hope you enjoyed the episode. Please let me know what your greatest takeaway was. You can reach out to me on Instagram at charlottejones247 or on my website at mylittlehomeschool.com, or you could even drop me an email at hello@mylittlehomeschool.com. I'd be ever so grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It will help spread the news about being a working homeschool mom. And in that way, we can build this wonderful, supportive community together. Thank you so much for listening. And until next time, take care.